Welcome to the 152nd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis. There he is.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just now realized I should have used the actual hip hop air horn that I have on my phone.
That's okay. But the time is mouth horn. The mouth horn is fine. There you go. All right. That's good.
Hello, how are you, Lee?
Doing great.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
We have a special guest.
Something smells good.
In the studio. The good smells follow him wherever he goes. We have returning guest, the founder of Death by Taco, Skylar Dennison, with us.
Hello.
Welcome back, bud.
Hi.
Skylar, first question right off the bat. Second favorite way to die other than taco?
I think I know.
For you or for him?
I mean, I have a guess.
Okay.
I have a guess for him.
Write it down.
I got it written down my head. Oh, you want me to...
I mean, I guess my boring answer is in my sleep, I guess. I always had we have this running joke that one of these days I'm going to be driving the trailer somewhere and I'm going to get in a massive wreck and actually die. And it's going to be like Death by Taco would be the headline.
Oh yeah. That's super ironic death.
It'll be Death by Taco. Yeah. That'll be... funny.
I thought you were going to say...
But sad.
I thought you were going to say Death by Chicken. Death by Chicken is where I thought you were going this. Because no, you did a special pop-up event. Yeah. I think we had talked about the last time that you were on the podcast. Or no, we were trying to get you on, but the schedules just didn't work.
Yeah.
But Death by Chicken, you were nice enough to hire me to do some artwork for that. Thank you so much.
People loved it. You turned me into a icon.
Yeah, literally. And thanks to KFC for the inspirato on that. And you also brought us a wonderful beer collaboration that you did here with Pointy Bell Brewing Company.
Yes, we did this earlier this month.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Tink, tink.
Death
tink,
by
tink.
Point, is that what this one's called?
Death Point. I had to think for a second.
Death Point.
Death Point, yeah.
Death Point. And this is how would you describe this?
This is a New England style IPA. It is this conditioned on tamarind, peaches, and coriander.
Damn. Yes, it's got a lot of flavor for an IPA.
Yeah.
That's not your typical IPA. Like, I don't know. It's still, I mean, it's definitely a New England style IPA, but it's just got a bunch of extra flavor.
I mean, Jordan kills it with that stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm not an IPA guy. But I did like it and I continue to like it.
God damn
it.
That.
I will drink it until it's done.
But back to Death by Chicken. Now you have something else going on, right?
Yeah. Death by Chicken Deuce.
Second Death by Chicken event,
but not sandwiches this time.
No,
going old school with just the whole damn bird.
Oh my God.
Yep. So bringing back a bunch of classics from the old spot. Danger Days.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Danger for the most part.
Yeah. So we're doing a couple different fried chicken styles there, and then we'll offer all kinds of cool sides. The cool part about this event that's going to be different, I think everyone's going to like, is it's actually going to be reservation only.
Oh, okay. So you got to get your spot.
Yeah, because we know that everyone always has fun at these other events, but we know that the big issue is getting there early, having to wait a long time for the food, dealing with the crowds.
It's just, you have a very high chaotic demand product. Anytime you do, I mean, just in general, but when you do these events like brunch at Palace, it pulls out hundreds of people just for the food.
Yeah, and I love, and that's the thing is like we want people to have the best time, and we know that even though people still come out and still wait 3 hours for food. Which I don't know why they do, but they do. And so we're trying to, you know, and with the bigger space that we'll be doing at Nice Guys. So we'll have the bigger space to deal with so people can kind of have, you know, come and hang out and have a reservation. And
yeah, there's a nice big porch out there and then inside seating as well. Two rooms inside.
Yeah. So
well, now with that new Nice Guys that you actually have like a proper kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do some
proper
kitchen-ish.
Yeah.
What do you know? What do you have a date?
Yes, it'll be July 3rd.
Okay, July 3rd.
July.
Yeah.
Is that a Saturday?
It is.
Perfect. Oh, guess who's got Saturdays off now?
Boom, Mark Davis. We got to get our reservations in. How do we reserve a spot?
Some of these details are still in the works. The best way to kind of make this work out for everybody, we'll announce that soon. And we'll either, hopefully we can make it easy and do something online, or it might just be old school and just gonna have to call it in. But those details we're still trying to figure out.
Can I give you $50 right now to hold a chicken for me?
Just a chicken.
We'll work it out. We'll work
it out.
We
got you, Mark. Don't worry.
Yeah. And thank you for dropping the exclusive news here on the
No-No.
This
is amazing. Yeah. This was a surprise to me. My reaction, if you go back and listen to it, that was a real reaction.
I guess I haven't told you. I guess I only told Lee, really.
Yeah. Skylar hit me up and he was like, hey, I want to come back on that No-No and drop details on my next event.
I got juicy info.
And I was like, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So we did.
Beautiful. We're very excited.
And you brought some trivia today.
I did, yes, and some trivia.
Cool. As did we.
Before
we get to our quiz, though, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Hold on. Before we do the weekly wrap-up, what's your favorite second way to die other than taco?
It's chicken.
It's chicken.
By death by chicken, too.
Okay.
Perfect. July 3rd, Cape Coral, Florida.
All right. Now, bring the jazz.
Yes. All right. What a great week. A big week we had at No Nonsense Trivia this week.
You and me both, sister.
On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, Hot Dot, a team that has been coming to my trivia for years, going to number 3 back in the day. Now they found us at Pointy Bell. They had their first ever victory, 99 points. Congratulations,
Congratulations.
To Hot Dot. Years in the making. Birds Aren't Real in second place with 77 points. Quiz in My Pants, third place with 71 points. Thursday, we had Quizmania Pro Wrestling Trivia at Ollie's Pub. Totally awesome. Had a great turnout. There was only a few seats left in the house once we got started. Had a great set of wrestling trivia team names. I want to read these to you. TWO, Trivia World Order. We're Live Pal. Freshly Squeezed. Some Orange Cassidy fans there. The Heartbreak Quiz. Shawn Michaels. Illegitimate Sons of Vince McMahon. Moist Generico. Team Moist showing up with a Sami Zayn reference there. And It's Still Real to Me, Damn It. Of course. 21 questions covering so many aspects of wrestling, legendary matches, controversies, famous moves, tag teams, and so much more. Our bonus rounds included wrestler nicknames, movie appearances, a referee matchup, gave descriptions of 10 wrestling referees, had our players match up, and 30 item bonus quiz to identify the entrance music. Overall, 80 quiz items, pretty comprehensive view, one of our biggest quizzes we've ever had, and TWO, Trivia World Order, 175 points, our highest score on a quiz ever.
Jeez.
They got 78 out of 80 quiz items correct.
They don't fuck around.
Oof.
Do we know anybody who was on this team?
That was Dustin, Jordan, and Mike. They are involved with the Real Pro Wrestling organization, which I think has a event this Saturday at Crown Plaza. Or no, it's the convention center, what used to be Harborside. What's that called now?
They changed. I don't remember.
I don't know.
It's in downtown Fort Myers, Red Rum, RPW Red Rum. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting right up front, first table, not a phone in sight. Just answer. I would ask a question. They would, you know, huddle up, suss it out, write down the answer very quickly, and then patiently wait for the next one. 78 out of 80. I was so impressed.
They knew. They're like, we're going to fucking swamp.
Yep. We're Live Pal in second with 161 points, a very respectable score, and Freshly Squeezed in third place with 132 points. Congratulations to those teams. Thanks to all who came out and the great reviews from our teams. Mark, you see that those review sheets right there?
I do.
Can you grab those real quick? Can you reach those? I just want you to read what those reviews say. You know how we do the grade our quiz? Is it too difficult? Is it too easy? What do those say? What do we got there?
Just right.
Uh-huh. Just right.
Goldilocks.
Just right.
Goldilocks.
Mm-hmm. Going for the Goldilocks.
Just right.
Yep.
Too hard. Just kidding. Just right.
I was going to say, what?
This one doesn't say anything on it.
All right. Well, you can assume it was just right then.
Just right. Just right.
All right. And I gotta give myself one of those. Right. I have to. Just because I was anxious about this quiz. I've probably never been more anxious. Wrestling, there's like 100 years of history.
Yeah.
How do you do...
I feel like
no
one's...
cover it all?
And I feel like with wrestling, at least the people I know who's in wrestling, they're never just like, yeah, I dabble.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they're in it.
Yeah, exactly. And even this, it wasn't hard enough for like the winning team basically got 78 out of 80, so damn. I might need to even make it a little bit more difficult.
I wonder how hard that quiz would be for someone who doesn't has never watched wrestling or hasn't watched it in the last.
The bar played and they got 5 points overall.
Yeah, there you go.
Versus 175 for the winners. So,
they lowered the bar.
Yeah, there you go. Goodness. We want to do another one. We'll probably do another one here in Cape Coral at Ollie's. So stay tuned for the announcement on that. But I know that we have a lot of listeners and fans that are interested in the Orlando area. I want to do no-nonsense pop-up wrestling trivia in Orlando. So if you're in Orlando and you know of a venue that would be down to host this on a weekend, hit me up. Let me know.
You got a lot of peeps in Orlando.
Scott is going to come and make chicken and be like a double pop-up.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I don't know. That's double a lot. We'll have to talk about that off air, but I love that idea as an idea.
They'll call it the double bubble.
Yeah. Maybe in town we could do that here.
Yeah.
That'd be easier. All right. Let's go over our calendar now in case you want to join us this week. You have a few opportunities to do
so. I definitely don't want
to
talk about who won on my trivia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, how did your trivia go? Nice guys.
This is the last thing I want to talk about right now.
Do you do trivia, Mark?
Actually, I do. You'll be happy to know I've been doing it for a while. longer than some people on this show. And yet I'm being just bold.
That was for me.
Wednesday was great, Lee. Thanks for asking. 16 teams in house. Only one team playing on Zoom. I'm sure you can guess who that is.
Well, Whiskey Tango.
There it is. First round going to... It was a tie between Black and White Cat and the winner of the free pizza for a year, Zach and his team.
Yeah.
Zach and his girlfriend, Taylor, were in town.
Oh, nice.
They got together with Clayton and a couple of other people.
Previous guests.
Yes, indeed. Their team, Mark Davis, has opinions on Israel and they are problematic, tying the first round with 19 points, but Black and White Cat winning the tiebreaker question, which was, how many wheels are there in a pair of skates? Clayton answering first, but only answering with 4. And the answer was 8. Black and White Cat getting that to get an extra point and then winning the next 2 rounds, finishing the night.
Pair of skates.
Yeah, that was the trick.
With 65 points. There was a team called A Tribe Called Question, which is probably my favorite team name of the night. Yes, indeed. Whiskey Tango finishing the night with 60 points. I just want to give her a shout out for showing up.
Right on. Yes. Shout out to Whiskey Tango for showing up. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia this week, you have a few opportunities to do so this Wednesday, June 2nd. We're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for a 323rd pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our players' category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Pointy Bell on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. This Thursday, June 3rd, we're back on Twitch with another mega quiz based on your category request. Join us for a 90-minute general knowledge multiple choice quiz, which will include audio and visual rounds. That's Thursday, June 3rd, starting at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia. And clear your calendars for Thursday, June 10th, when we present our first general knowledge quiz at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. We took topic requests at Quizmania, so we'll still have some of those. Or we'll start out with some of those, rather. But join us to suggest trivia topics for our next quiz at Ollie's. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday, June 10th at 7 p.m. And, of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark Davis's trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. Give Whiskey Tango a little challenge. Starting at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Black and White Cat. Give them a challenge. Give them a... It's a one-man wrecking crew.
Oh, yeah. That was in person, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I meant on Zoom.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, you can even give people playing locally a run for their money.
You can challenge in person. You can challenge on Zoom. Many ways to challenge. And, of course, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
I didn't know where to go with that one.
You started low, and then you're like, I want to be up there with them.
Yeah.
They're making it pretty quick. Like,
take a little break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back with some trivia with Skylar. All right. right, we're back. First up, a wine question is what I have for you guys. Taken from the Latin word for great, large, or big, a bottle of wine holding 1.5 liters, the equivalent of two regular bottles, is known as what size descriptor?
I think magnum.
Yeah?
That's my gut. I think magnum.
A magnum. You might be pretty far away from that mic, my friend.
Magnum. Is that better?
Yeah.
That sounds good, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know more about wine than I do.
Which is nothing.
Can you repeat the beginning again?
Taken from the Latin word for great, large, or big, a bottle of wine holding 1.5 liters, the equivalent of two regular bottles, is known as what size descriptor?
Magnum. I don't know. I really think that's the only thing I can come up with. Because
I'm thinking of the Magna Carta. Big. Okay. I don't know if that's Greek or Latin.
I can't think of any. I think I might even just feel like that's the answer because it's a term that's used in other, like with beer and stuff sometimes as well.
Okay. We're going to go with Magnum.
That's correct.
Hey, there he goes.
Yes. Or magnum opus.
Okay, yeah.
Great work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The word first appeared in context of wine in 1788 England.
Man, 1776. Right afterward.
Right after.
Fuck this.
Yep.
We're going to make a lot of wine. We're going to drink a fuck a lot of wine.
Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Found in...
They threw out TOA. Now we have to drink big wine.
Here's my first question.
Yes.
Founded in 1972, the Lloyd Banks coprolite is the largest known fossilized what?
Lloyd Banks?
Yes.
The light?
Coprolite.
Oh. A fossil made of copra.
Would imagine it's
Franz Cockrell.
This probably won't help, but I imagine
Francis Ford Coprola.
Imagine what Lord, what's in it? Can we read it one more time?
Found in 1972, the Lloyd Banks coprolite is the largest known fossilized what?
Are you familiar enough with this that you would know who Lloyd Banks is?
No, I thought you said Lloyd Banks, who Lloyd, I think is I a did. Rapper.
Lloyd Banks. Lloyd Banks.
Yeah. But I think I do know that, the prefix copra, I think means duty.
Oh, so like a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's all a right. fossilized turd. I think as Ian Malcolm would say, that's one big pile of shit.
All right.
That's what I think. I think it's going to be a poo poo.
A poop?
Yeah.
I mean, your guess is way better than mine.
A turd.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yeah. All recovered right. by archaeologists from the York Archaeological Trust in the Viking settlement of Jorvik, now York, England. And this thing was 8 inches long and 2 inches wide.
That is smaller than I expected,
yeah,
to be honest. I mean,
here, let me see. Let's let's look at an 8-incher real quick.
That's just a piece of shit.
That yeah. looks like something you take off the grill.
Shows that they
from this distance. This looks like a big old brisket from 6 feet away on your phone.
Show that the producer subsisted largely on meat and bread and was riddled with intestinal worms.
Wait, so this is from a human?
Yep. From a Viking.
Oh yeah. My god, I take back what I said.
Yeah, that is a big piece of shit.
Yes. I thought this was like a dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like a little turd.
This is a human being.
Oh my gosh.
I bet Vikings took some. They obviously took some large shit. How does a piece of poop get fossilized? Snow?
The rapper Snow. He fossilizes it.
I'm not sure.
Give me this poop.
Whoa! It's just got to be well protected, I guess. You know, from the elements. Even running water seems like it would pose a risk, you know?
Yeah. This is the most exciting piece of excrement I've ever seen. In its own way, it's as irreplaceable as the crown jewels.
In its own way, being the operative condition there. In its own way, separate from the ways of most people. Non-scientists.
Skylar.
Oh, all right, here we go.
Oh.
An artifact only a scientist could love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go here. You ready? All right.
Yes.
So, Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral was held at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, where they asked current students to be the ushers. What famous actor was one of those ushers?
Usher.
No, I don't think he's done much acting, and he might be a little young.
This wasn't acting. This is real.
Right.
Uh-oh.
You said he was an actor. So Usher would not be...
Usher's not an actor.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about?
So when did he die? 1970-something?
Yeah.
Do we think it's a black person? It's got to be a black person, yeah?
No. Because I can almost guarantee it's a white person. I've seen this picture of this actor at the funeral, and I remember reading that they actually had like a long history of racial activism. It might be Clint Eastwood.
I was just gonna say Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I just had this, like, I remember hearing this hit to my brain.
Mm-hmm. It was somebody that I did feel a little surprised because and that would make sense because.
Yes, because I remember seeing something about him and it talking about how even though he's all right wing now, he used to be seriously like pro, and he may still be like pro civil rights.
Yeah. They don't preclude each other necessarily. But no, not necessarily. The Venn diagram is very small.
Thank you.
The sliver.
Let's go with Clint Eastwood living in that toenail clipping.
Just not to overlook other guesses. My first thought, for some reason, was Jack Nicholson.
My first thought was Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. Again, I don't know. He might be a little like he was not acting at that time, obviously. And acting pulled Sam Jackson out of...
Well, I didn't know that the question necessarily meant that they're an actor at the time.
No, it didn't. But I know that Samuel L. Jackson had a rough history before he became an actor. So yeah. He probably wasn't going to be at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral in a notable capacity, right, where he's getting pictures taken of himself and stuff like that with everybody else. Clint Eastwood.
We're going to say Clint Eastwood.
Wrong.
Oh no,
let me just ask this.
Fuck, I knew we should have sussed longer
because I had an idea that it might be Charlton Heston, or not Charlton Heston. Who's the guy who did the
maybe it is Charlton Heston,
maybe, well, it was Charlton. Who, yeah, is it?
We lost it.
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, are you serious?
Fucking motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah. And a funny story. I didn't read too much on this Mark trivia
is glaring at me right now.
I guess he, prior to that, he had it might have been after, but tidbit, he at one point got in trouble for holding Martin Luther King Jr.'s father hostage at one point.
Wow.
But yes, he was one of the ushers at the way, because he was a student at Morehouse College where the...
Oh, and also an usher is... Maybe not notable of a role as like what we were talking about.
But also, I mean, maybe I guess I could have rewritten.
Man, you know, question. But Samuel L. Jackson would call me a
motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
But I did say it did say current students.
Yeah,
students of the college. That's a tidbit that you kind of.
Yep. That absolutely would have helped. I think it's all these little details.
I thought that was gonna be an easy one, so I'm glad that worked.
It worked on us.
I'm glad you got it wrong.
You got the yeah, you broke our streak. We were doing good. We're doing so good here. Two right answers right in a row. Well, I've got an oceanography question for you guys.
Okay.
What large ocean current, which inspired a famous 1899 oil painting by Winslow Homer, influences the climate of the east coast of North America from Florida to Newfoundland and the west coast of Europe as well? I'll read that for you one more time. What large ocean current, which inspired a famous 1899 oil painting by Winslow Homer, influences the climate of the east coast of North America from Florida to Newfoundland and the west coast of Europe as well?
I don't know. I know I can visualize it because I've seen how the currents are changing. I know it's coming from the north, like a cold current. I don't know how this works.
I don't know either.
But what its name would be, I don't know. They necessarily named currents. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They all got names.
Winslow Homer.
It is also the name of the painting.
Yeah, I don't. Well, as I'm saying, I don't know any Winslow Homer. Like, it's the name of the painting. I'm like, oh.
But the,
got bad news.
Does not
for
help.
You.
Yeah,
if you're listening to me 1 second ago. You know, no help. Tide, red tide,
red tide. I think maybe like something like Northern Current. Or, I don't know. I don't even know who that painter is. I don't know. Do you know the name of any current?
Current Affair.
Is that show still on?
Just that dead silence.
That's the only current.
We're going to go with Current Affair.
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Oh, wow.
The correct answer is the Gulf Stream.
Oh. The Gulf Stream. I remember that.
Also, the name, isn't that the name of a camper? Oh, that's an Airstream.
Airstream, yeah. There is a FIU's magazine. Airstream. It's called the Gulf Stream Magazine. The first European to record information about the current appears in a voyage log of 1512, a 1512 Ponce de Leon voyage, which notes a current such that although they had great wind, they could not proceed forwards, but backwards. And it seems they were proceeding as well. At the end, it was known that the current was more powerful than the wind. So they were basically flowing against the current and not realizing, like, why is this taking so long? We're moving backwards. What's going on here? Later, Ben Franklin noticed a discrepancy between shipping times from London and the States while visiting England in 1768. The Colonial Board of Customs asked, why did it take British packets several weeks longer to reach New York from England than the average American merchant ship to reach Newport, Rhode Island? Probably thought they were just being lazy, but no, it was the Gulf Stream. So Franklin actually had it all plotted out and gave it to a cartographer who then hung the charts around that were then pretty much ignored for most of history until they were like, wait, Franklin was onto something. Nowadays, it's seen as a possible renewable energy source. The idea to deploy a field of underwater turbines, which could produce an estimated 20 to 60 gigawatts of power.
Is that a lot?
Yeah. I mean, that's like 30 DeLoreans, basically, traveling through time. if Back to the Future is any indication, which it is for me because I don't know anything about actual science. Anyways, Mark,
still
your next question.
Looking for that Gulf Stream, baby queen.
What's
prettiest
that?
Prettiest girl that I've ever seen.
Is that rock and roll?
See your face on the movie screen. Gulf Stream, James Dean.
Rock and roll dreams come true?
I don't know what the hell the song is called. I think it's called James Dean. It sucks.
Oh, okay.
It's from the 80s. It just gets stuck in my head. It's one of those songs.
I was looking for a reference like that. You know, when I was writing the question, so I was like, Winslow Homer painting. I guess that's the most notable.
The real lyrics are blue jean, baby cream.
Oh, you just made. Okay, so Gulfstream's not even in it.
Blue jean, baby cream.
But there is a band called, I think, Gulfstream, and they have an album called Gulfstream from the Gulfstream Sounds or something. I can't remember.
Maybe you could use that if you want to use that question.
You're welcome. Which sport claims the world record for fastest moving ball?
Okay. Well, first thing, it's going to be a sport with a ball.
Damn, he's good. Yep. Damn.
I'm going to say baseball.
Lee, watch out for this one. He's good.
Because think about any sport that I can think of with a ball. You know, soccer, they're kicking it. Yeah, football, they're throwing it or kicking it. But baseball, they're already known for throwing pitches that are
fastball is one of
well
the
over 100
terms.
Miles per hour. Yeah. So imagine if you hit that ball with a bat. I feel like baseball would be the best guess. I mean, maybe tennis. They seem pretty intense.
Yeah, that's the... So, yeah, I don't know. You got racquetball.
What about... What's the one? Lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Like highlight.
Yeah, I feel like that could. Those could be some good options.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if physics plays a part, though. And maybe it's something like billiards. I mean, those balls, like when you crack them, they seem to move pretty fast. But are they going 100 miles an hour? But
like you said, like
that would probably
like
do
high
some damage.
Yeah, they have like that almost like that dog toy where it's like a scoop.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you get some fucking speeds with those things.
Yeah,
more
than
like,
probably a pitcher in baseball, right? Wouldn't it follow that like using one of those would,
I guess so,
throw
yeah.
it faster?
Yeah,
then or is it more just about arm? Bringing up the averages? Like, not everybody's gonna be able to throw a 100 mile an hour fastball, but with that thing, you can get like 60. You know what I mean?
I know
like
what you
it,
mean.
It might not be the fastest, but it gets everybody playing fast, quick.
A good
volleyball. Volleybonk.
What's that?
That's volleyball on a tennis court with a beach ball.
I remember.
Used to play that in college.
Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Tallahassee, did you? Florida. Yes, volleybonk.
Right. Sounds like a bunch of liberal bullshit.
Well, what do you got to do? You got no money, you got a beach ball and access to the local tennis court. No, not even. Just an outdoor tennis court in the park. Ride your bikes up there because you ain't got no cars. Ain't got no cars.
This phone really hates this microphone.
Yeah, keep it away.
Well, I got to use it to read some.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
What do you guys think?
Baseball seems like too obvious an answer, but I don't know that there's a better. Maybe lacrosse, polo, the mallet, bowling.
Yeah. Ooh, bowling. So. Yeah, that's a heavy ball, though.
Yeah. Until it's not. And then you bowl the fastest ball. Maybe it's Skittles, the precursor to bowling.
I don't know, man. My gut says baseball. I don't know.
Baseball.
Baseball is incorrect. The fastest ball of any speed in a sport is golf, but that's not a moving ball. That was 204 miles per hour off the tee. For a moving ball, it is the moving ball of the pelota, 188 miles per hour in high lie.
Oh, okay.
180?
188 Jeez miles Louise. An hour.
All right. I was way off by that. Yeah.
Throwing that bitch. Mm-hmm. Yeet.
Nice.
My turn?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Last question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
We have one more question.
Well, then we're going to take a break.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right. One before the break.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to No Nonsense Trivia.
Now reported as false, Richard Montanez claimed he went from being a Frito-Lay janitor to being the inventor of what popular snack in 1992?
One more time?
Now reported as false, Richard Montanez claimed he went from being a Frito-Lay janitor to being the inventor of what popular snack in 1992? Currently been in the headlines because it came out as false. And he's been making this claim for a very long time.
Do you know this?
They're making a movie about it.
Making a movie. He wrote a book about it.
That is titled after the snack. And I believe that movie is going to be called Flamin' Hot.
Oh.
Because he claims to have invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Okay.
So that's what I think we should go with.
We're going to see Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Ding, 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 ding. All right.
Odd to have your ear to the breast of the local zeitgeist.
I was intrigued by that. You know, there's the other janitor rags to riches story would be Nintendo, I think, where one of their janitors...
Mario, right?
I don't think it was Mario. It was their first electronic device. They were doing non-electronic stuff, but he was an engineer. It might have been Miyamoto that was the janitor. Memory's a little bit fuzzy about that trivia.
Kind of like the Choco Taco was invented by a... I don't know if he started as a janitor, but he started real low. He was like a driver for the company and created the Choco Taco.
Man, I love how much overlap my questions are with your guys, because I also have like an invention, food invention question. I also have a Viking related question. But after
I have
our
a shit
break,
related question.
After our break, I was gonna say we have a poo related miscorrection to get to.
You're like, I have to take a shit during the break, so
we're gonna go take care of business, and then we'll be right back with some missed corrections. Right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections. The missed corrections are trying to sleep. Thank you for the miscorrections.
Miscorrections monitor on.
Mike C.
Yes.
Yeah.
The smooth sounds.
We actually got not exactly a miscorrection from Michael K. Michael K. writes, our Rumble Snailskin Michael K. Not exactly a miscorrection, but on the question regarding elephant poo, the reason the Triceratops would have such large piles is probably either A, they regularly return to the same spot to poo, like llamas or alpacas do, or B,
or us.
Their digestive systems are not as efficient as modern mammals, so they have to eat more than elephants do. So those are some interesting insights there. Thank you, Michael K. We forgot to mention Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne in Tinted Windows. He was also in that project, Tinted Windows, with members of Hanson, as well as it is James E. Ha from the Smashing Pumpkins. He died of complications related to COVID-19 in 2020. So RIP to him. Also, I mentioned that Michael Jackson premiered the moonwalk at the Apollo Awards. That's not true. That was at Motown 25 yesterday, today, forever, at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium in 1983, not at the Apollo Theater in New York City.
Did people just go ape shit the first time he did that?
Yeah.
Is there a video? There's
there is a video, many videos of him doing
people
it.
And people do, and like, what the fuck? There's a big pop, like Hulk Hogan just ran out or something like that. We heard from Kevin Hunt on Discord, medulla, the inner region of an organ or tissue, especially when it's distinguishable from the outer region or cortex. Turns out every organ really does have a medulla, Quizmaster Lee.
Okay.
Kevin Hunt says. He also gave me props for at least giving a Balkan state, not a Balkan state, for your Lithuania question, while Evan gave me grief, which I think was deserved grief. Thank you. I appreciate it, Kevin, but
take it both.
I did deserve the grief as well. And we heard from Caitlin Reams. Caitlin writes, y'all, I actually have a self-miscorrection regarding my Tevin Campbell question. I stated that Tevin Campbell got to start as Prince's backup singer, but this is most likely not correct. For years, I've thought this was the case, but upon further research, I discovered that while Campbell was considered Prince's protege, it was because Prince produced his first solo hit in 1991, Round and Round.
Mm.
I'm such a huge fan of the podcast.
Backed up by Rat.
Excuse me.
That's what immediately into my head.
I was going to, yeah, Campbell need to listen to that one.
Round and round.
I'm such a huge fan of the podcast.
Find a way, just give it time.
Round and round.
What goes around comes around. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Woo! That was Tevin Campbell singing. You're welcome.
I'm such a huge fan of the podcast, Caitlin continues, and have been plowing through the catalog of episodes in my factory job for the past month or so. I was a bit bummed that I had to work on my birthday this week, but your 150th episode pulled up on my queue at the start of my shift, and needless to say, it made my day to hear you feature my question. Your thirst for knowledge and keen aptitude for bullshitting are so refreshing in these trying times. All of my love from Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for that note, Caitlin, as well as the 5-star review she gave us.
Oh, and you know what? I'm going to call it now. I think you'll agree with me. Let's consider the 150th episode also Caitlin's birthday episode.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
There you go.
All right.
If you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note.
And you would.
You can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Oh, boys. Boys, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Beautiful. I'm glad to hear it. Here's the next question. Edith Head is a woman who has won the most of what award? Edith Head is a woman who has won the most of what award compared to any other woman?
Compared to any other woman. Or man?
Yes.
Is this woman only award?
It's a woman. It's the most of any woman who's won the award.
Interesting.
I don't know that name at all. It doesn't ring any bells of what it could be.
It's a cool name
related to
Edith Head.
Yeah, but there's so many awards. Where would we even start?
Exactly. Unless we know the name, best film editor at best editing at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
It could be biggest tomato at the county fair.
The 2004 Ohio Fair. Mm-hmm.
Every year she's winning that biggest tomato
award. I know this. The name Edith sounds very old school.
Mm-hmm.
So not that really matters, I guess.
Doesn't biggest
really
tomatoes. That's where I'm going. Yeah, county fair. Edith, you got a tomato this year. It's so big, Edith. I can't wait to have a slice of your big and juicy tomato, Edith.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I like it.
You like tomatoes?
We're role playing to get into the spirit of this question.
I'm trying to channel Edith.
Mm-hmm. Edith? Edith Head. Porn star of the year. It's a fake name.
I was going to say that one. That's not stupid.
Yeah. I mean, there's a logic behind it. I'm not just, you know, grasping here.
The name did.
It's make either me biggest chuckle. Tomato or biggest. Biggest tomatoes.
Best blowjobs or biggest tomato. It's one of those.
Yep. Edith Head.
I'd rather go porn star.
Yeah. So I don't know the do they give a blowjob award at the what is it? The adult video. The AVN awards.
I have no idea. Who makes that judgment? Like only the guy receiving it.
There's got to be an academy, right? I mean, there's got to be an academy of producers and stars, you know, like they do with the Academy Awards, a mix of all the professionals that vote. I have to imagine. Let me see
you give that man a blowjob real quick again. We need a tiebreaker.
The footage should do fine. You shouldn't need to give an extra one just for
speak for yourself.
They do things a little differently in that industry.
They do things a little differently around here.
Let's do it. Best blowjob at the AVN Awards. Should we do it, Skylar?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's incorrect.
Oh. Well, it was a spirited guess.
Yeah, I guess. The Oscars is the correct answer. It's actually a good award. I mean, not that best blowjob isn't a good award, but...
Well, what's the award?
Editing? She won a record 8 Academy Awards for Best Costume Design between 1949 and 1973, making her the most awarded woman in the Academy's history.
What movies has she done?
She did Rear Window.
Don't know it.
Oh, they've really? Only remade that movie so. 4 times. Disturbia. They're remaking it now. There's like, I think, an Amy Adams one that's coming out where she's a photographer, but it's James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart. I saw somebody kill a man in his backyard. Nobody believes me, though.
She did The Jungle Princess, The Sting. Rear Window was an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Okay.
Old Hitchy got me in a wheelchair in my room. Looking out the window in the back.
All the movies she won was The Emperor Waltz, The Heiress, Samson and Delilah, All About Eve, A Place in the Sun, The Greatest Show on Earth, Carrie, Sabrina, Roman Holiday. Wait a minute. What?
These are some big movies. No disrespect to Edith Head. We just thought that was
She got a total of 35 name. Nominations.
Oh, damn. Wow. Like every movie
she won for The Heiress, Samson and Delilah, All About Eve, A Place in the Sun, Roman Holiday, Sabrina. The Facts of Life and The Sting.
Wow.
So she does. Yeah, she did a lot of other
movies. Apologies to any fashion designers, costume designers that may be listening. They're screaming at their radios.
Indeed.
All right. Wait, what? Huh?
It's your turn to ask a question.
Yeah. Where'd my questions go? Hold on.
I don't know.
All right. Let's do our sports question first.
Okay.
What 4 professional sports teams whose names recall tall, fast, evil, and energetic imagery, respectively, play their home games in the state of New Jersey? Looking for 4 professional sports teams that play their home games in the state of New Jersey, and the team names recall tall, fast, evil, and energetic.
All right, so imagery. We got Jets and Giants. Mm-hmm. Giants would be tall, Jets would be fast, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Devil. Energetic.
Energetic. You got I'm trying to think of just who plays in New Jersey. Got the Devils.
New Jersey the Devils. Devil. Oh, evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Them.
And what was the other one? We got Giants. Energetic. We got Speed.
Yes. Energetic. All 3 of those. I'm going to give you 3 of these. 1 point apiece for each of those.
Oh, nice. That we're on a roll.
But you have one last one.
Energetic.
The New York Red Bull. There's that soccer team.
They probably play. Is it? I mean, if that, I didn't know the name of New York's soccer team.
It's the Red Bull.
If it is, then I would imagine they're more likely to probably play in New Jersey.
You want to guess that?
Yeah.
You're going to say Red Bull.
That's right! Perfectly done.
We killed it.
Yeah. We were trying to decide whether or not we were going to dap up, but we had to.
Yep.
Because that's four answers in one damn question.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Good job. It's your turn, please.
All right. I'm going to do the one that I threw together real fast, the bullshit one. This is probably super easy. All right. Ready?
Here comes a bullshit question.
It's a food question, so it's easy to him.
Oh, this is easy. Garlic, onions, shallots, and leeks are all species from what type of plant?
Nightshade, right?
Nightshade is tomato.
Oh, yeah. And eggplant, right?
I think so. God, I hate when people say
Wait, can you ask this question one more time? I don't want to miss anything again.
It makes me feel so much dumber. Mm-hmm.
Garlic, onions, shallots, and leeks are all species from what type of plant?
Bulb?
What type of plant?
A bulb
plant?
It's a beautiful bulbous you got there.
Thank you.
Bulbasaur.
Thank you for noticing.
Bulba.
Bulbasaur.
I don't know. Type of plant, nightshade is a family of plants.
I'm also really bad about plants and stuff, so yeah. I hope I worded it right.
Okay.
That's another reason why I was struggling with that one.
Yeah, so I think you're right, though. The tomato and the eggplant are nightshade plants. I don't know about these. These are all, the strong oniony Chicago stinky weeds, mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, I know.
Oh,
Lee, I know.
The ramp. Are you familiar with ramps?
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Part of the same.
Did you include that?
No.
Okay. I just feel smart when I can talk about ramps with chefs, you know?
Yeah, because they're only available 6 weeks out of the year. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they have a boat. Hi-yo. Hey-yo. I know.
Mark is here on this podcast.
Hello.
I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this. I don't think bulbous is the correct answer. Onions, garlic, and shallots.
Onions, garlic. Bulb.
Are you looking for a family of plants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe it is nightshade. Now, okay. They thought that nightshade plants were poisonous. Yeah. And, I mean, eat those things.
Yeah, when they brought them from, Mexico, everyone mm-hmm. in Europe was like, don't eat that, it'll kill
yeah.
you.
Don't do that.
It smells like death.
Hey, man, don't do that.
I love garlic, though. All those ingredients you just listed are
you can't cook
amazing.
Anything without at least one yeah. of those.
Mm-hmm.
Claire was actually, just to counteract you guys and to speak up for the people that have an issue with garlic. Claire was
garlic
just talking
intolerant.
Yesterday about how she can't order anything anywhere because everybody forces garlic into everything.
Yeah, it sucks.
Every time she tries to get something, it's like garlic this,
I will agree that most places overuse it because it's an easy way to make something taste good.
Garlic is to food as wine is to people's lives. A lot of people are just wine everything, and they do the same thing with garlic where it's just you just gotta throw wine at it, throw garlic. Here's a bra that you can fucking put your wine in and put garlic all over all your food. It's just calm down for a minute.
Are you gonna kickstart that?
Yes. Yeah. Anti-wine, anti-garlic. Same thing with weed. It's just
nightshade.
All right, we're gonna say nightshade.
Wrong.
Okay.
Alliums.
Alliums.
Yeah.
Alliums.
Allium.
Very easy.
Allium.
Here's a word you've never heard of before.
Never heard of alliums?
No,
alliums.
I've never fucking heard of alliums.
I might even be saying it a little bit wrong because I'm bad with words.
Well, I mean, you're probably saying it right and I just don't know it because
I love it.
I love when people have such a level of knowledge about something that they talk so over your head. They're like, of course you know this. And it's a word never did my brain.
I've never heard that word before.
Never.
That's so interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's when you are, a master at your craft like Skylar is, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it says, allium is a genus of mono, don't know that word, flowering plants that include hundreds of species, including blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
alliums. It's actually, it's the generic name. Allium is the Latin word for garlic.
Oh, okay.
Well, hot
so
damn.
All of those are kind of garlicky. Vegetables then, or herbs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
All right, you ready for another question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the human void is the
human void?
Where
the human
body?
The void lengths?
Where in the human
copper light?
Where in the human body is the hyoid bone located?
Where in the human body? Highway bone? The
hyoid. H-Y-O-I-D.
I think it's either in your face or in your throat.
Why?
Because I've come across this question before.
Oh, okay.
And what I think I know about the hyoid bone is that it's like the only bone in your body that's not attached to another bone.
What would that be?
It's like a free-floating bone, so it's like a plate. And I think it might...
Nose?
Maybe in your nose, or maybe in your throat, like it like covers up like your thyroid gland or something.
Okay, I have thyroid issues.
Have you ever heard of the hyoid? Maybe I'm thinking thyroid hyoid.
Yeah, maybe. I have no idea. But you seem pretty well versed.
Yeah, in... when you draw a skeleton, you never draw a free floating nose bone, which I feel like might have been a thing if they knew about it. I think that's all cartilage.
Cartilage, yeah.
Yeah. So I would. I hate to say it, but maybe the throat. It seems like such a weird answer to give, like, because it's such a small area of the body.
Yeah, but there, yeah. Sure, let's go for it.
The throat.
That's correct.
No!
The neck / throat.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
Mind palace is clear.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny because when I first saw the question, I thought the answer was the ear.
Right. It does sound like it could be a hammer, an anvil, or a stirrup.
The hyoid bone is a horseshoe-shaped bone situated in the anterior midline of the neck between the chin and the thyroid cartilage.
Boom. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Did you ask that at trivia this week?
I did.
Were there a lot of right answers on that one? Or
there was
how should I feel
about
that? It
was probably about 50-50.
Okay.
There was a group of nurses that were playing, and Shelky was also there playing, and she's also a nurse.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a good question.
Some medical professionals in the.
I feel like my second round of trivia at the end of this, maybe I'll just go through my whole second round of trivia because I think it may be one of the easiest rounds I ever put through.
A rare easy round.
Mm-hmm.
For Mark. See, never know. Don't call it scary. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, don't be scared, baby. I got you. I'll hug you.
All right. Breakfast cereal. My next category for you guys. Based on her grandmother's recipe of brown sugar and butter served over rice. Flavorist Pamela Lowe developed what breakfast cereal's flavor coating in the early 1960s to have a want Moorishness quality, which remains popular to this day.
I'm going to go with Cinnamon Toast Crunch right off the bat, because the first one I could think of was cinnamon. And I can see like a buttery thing. I know Cinnamon Toast Crunch, not Cinnamon Toast Rice, but the idea of rice, thinking of like a rice cereal. Like a puffed rice cereal with
like
cinnamon.
Like Rice Krispies?
Yeah. But it's got to have cinnamon. Maybe.
He said cinnamon?
Well, I'll read it one more time. Based on her grandmother's recipe of brown sugar and butter served over rice, flavorist Pamela Lowe developed what breakfast cereal's flavor coating in the early 1960s to have a want Moorishness quality, which remains popular to this day.
I don't know where I got cinnamon from. Brown sugar and butter. All right. Something that's older. I'm thinking Life.
Brown sugar and butter.
For some reason, like Life is ringing a bell. That's an older cereal.
Well, when I think of coatings for cereal, I immediately think of Frosted Flakes. But brown sugar and butter.
And also, know. Life doesn't have a coating on it. So you're right. We need to think of a cereal with a coating on it.
Want Moorish. What a weird fucking descriptor.
Dude, I love this because you get into the creative mind of these people. They're like, I want to create a food where people just want more of it immediately.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That is not what I thought you meant. I was thinking want, W-O-N-T, and Moorish like the Moors.
No.
Oh.
That would be a, like, yeah, ancient inspiration.
Oh my Christ. Okay. Wow. Holy
not
fuck.
Not Moorishness.
Still popular to this day.
So we got to
think of a cereal that's been around since the 60s.
Okay. And something that is flavored by its coating more than it is by its flavor. So no Apple Jacks, no Fruity Pebbles, no, nothing like that. Life
Smacks,
Honey Smacks.
Smacks could be those kind of those. I mean, smacks are delicious, but they taste like the way your pee smells after you eat asparagus.
What about hey? What about Cocoa Puffs? Rice. It's giant puffed rice,
right?
Or no. Honey Smacks are puffed rice.
Yes, they are.
And it seems like it's such a tricky answer because you'd think it's honey.
It smacks, so you want more, like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 10.
Hey, listeners. And we just lost.
So many people.
Do you guys know that meme, the ice cream tasting guy?
No.
He's like a professional ice cream taster. This is a great meme. He goes, he goes over the process of how he rates ice cream quality. So he takes a spoonful, he puts it in his mouth, he goes, that cream, that sweetness, that top note, pure vanilla. That's a 10.
Wow.
Can you imagine having dinner with that guy? Jesus Christ.
You want to go with Honey Smacks?
I'm going to go with Smacks.
We're going to go with Honey Smacks.
No. I'm sorry. It really was the flavor coating that was the draw here. It would be a cereal named after Commander Horatio Magellan Crunch.
God damn it, Captain Crunch.
Or Cap'n Crunch, as its name.
There's nothing brown sugar or buttery about that.
You don't
at
think
all.
So?
Not, I do. Not brown sugar. But I also haven't had Captain Crunch.
Cap'n Crunch.
Please.
pronounce it right.
Since it's probably been at least 20 years.
Skylar, you'll refer to him as Cap'n or you'll leave.
Pamela Lowe Anderson. Also had previously worked on flavors Anderson for Lowe. Heath, Mounds, and Almond Joy. So I didn't know if I should include that in the question. It seemed kind of just like extra information that
no one's
really
gonna know
get
that.
To
oh,
it.
You know, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I don't know. You were asking about Flamin' Hot guy. I was like, maybe Pamela Lowe is like a famous food developer. She does have her own Wikipedia.
Are Mounds Almond Joy like one company, or are they like hyphenated as two separate companies?
Well, Mounds is they're Mounds
Almond
is,
Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't.
Yeah, the same company. And one Star Chocolate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're two separate companies, like someone's worked for Mounds but not Almond Joy, they're like,
well,
won't fuck with nuts.
She worked for
won't do it.
She worked for a consulting firm called Arthur D. Little. And they were like flavor. I think they like made an acetate. So they were like chemical consultants.
Arthur D. Little.
And
what?
She was like the. She was like the flavor consultant, I guess. And so she worked on Heath. I think those are some great candies.
Ooh,
personally,
Heath. Oh, yeah. It's my favorite.
Heath is probably
Heath
my favorite bar. All right.
Is it like a score?
Skull. Yeah, I think they're
score.
Similar.
I don't think I've had score. I've seen them, but I don't know. Is it toffee?
Yeah, those are both the types of teeth where the toffee just gets stuck in your teeth. All the chocolate.
Those are the types of teeth.
Those are the types of candy where the chocolate just gets stuck in your teeth.
Gotcha.
Or the
what a mess.
Toffee. Anyways.
I must confess. Let's take a break.
Did you ask two?
No, I only asked one.
Really?
Yeah. Do you want me to ask my second one now?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You asked them both.
There we go. Known for being quite the hothead, what fast food founder shot and wounded a fellow rival business owner after catching them painting over their advertisements?
Dave Thomas.
You oh son my of gosh. A bitch. That's my stepdaughter. Oh, wait. My adopted daughter's fucking face.
Eat lead. Call an ambulance, but not for me.
Dave yeah, there's Thomas. There's
and
Dave that, Thomas.
Like, years later, he's so much more friendly. He's like,
"Hi,
hey guys, coming to have a Super Bowl." Like, thinking of like 20 years beforehand, just fucking gunning someone down.
We only
down
use the freshest ingredients.
I'm okay. I'm rehabilitated now. Oh,
I'm gonna put you in my day old chili.
Oh yes, I remember people being like, "Their chili, it's made out of their previous day hamburger," and I was like, "I don't care."
Cool.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
That's why
I eat
it
and I don't die. It's tasty. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about the chicken nuggets.
See, I was told that, like, I've heard that they use, like, the leftover of the burgers, but I thought it was, like, the trimmings of the burgers. But I guess they're square cut. They're not circular, so that wouldn't make sense. Anyway.
Yeah. I wouldn't put anything past them, honestly.
In any event, giant, it's like, you know.
Giant corporation.
Yeah. It's like when they did the pink slime for the chicken nuggets. I was like.
Yeah, okay. Everyone's like, look at this. I'm like. Okay. Yeah.
So what? That's just like
first time seeing food.
Yeah.
Being made.
Okay. And then they just like squirt it out and make it in nuggets. Yeah. Like, did you ever see the video? I think we talked about this in the pod like ages ago. It's like this video of this guy showing how they make it. He's like food processing, all this stuff. And then the slime comes out and he's like, and he like makes these homemade chicken nuggets. And he's like, now who wants them? And all the kids are like, we do. Yeah. Like, they're all just like, I don't know, old man. It fucking tastes good.
What's his name? That English chef. I can't remember. Jamie Oliver.
That sounds right. I always thought Jamie Oliver was a comedian. Shows what I know. Is there a question?
Yes. We're trying to determine if it's Dave Thomas who shot... What'd you say? He shot a man over advertising?
Would you like me to reread the question? Yeah.
Shot a man at Wendy's just to watch him die.
known for being quite the hothead, what fast food founder shot and wounded a fellow rival business owner after catching them painting over their advertisements?
Well, I mean, look, I got to be honest with you. There's only so many founders that are popular and well known.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with like Dave Thomas or Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of us thinks it's Dave Thomas. And Ray Kroc must have gotten murked early because he's been gone for a while now, it seems like.
Well, I do have a third that I'd like to put your way, and that would be a man named
Wahlberg.
Colonel Sanders.
Mark
the Colonel. You know, I mean, that guy has had a long history. He was old.
Yeah, that stupid ass tie.
He was old in the 80s. So
I don't even think he started KFC until, like, I think their first franchise sold in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like in his 70s at the time. He's an old man.
Plus, he goes by Colonel Sanders. I'm not sure if he's actually a colonel or not.
I think he's recognized as one, but he's not technically one. And whatever that means.
If you've ever seen an interview with him, I know he used to show up on the commercials and stuff, and you know, they would like, he was in a white suit and they would try to paint like the Southern wholesome picture of him. But if you see interviews with him, he seems kind of like a good old boy that would be packing heat maybe just shoot somebody for paint over their ad.
Can I hear the question one more time?
You may. Known for being quite the hothead, what fast food founder shot and wounded a fellow rival business owner after catching them painting over their advertisements?
Colonel Sanders is a good guess.
Yeah.
There's James Hardy from Hardee's, of course. There's Philip Checkers, who founded Checkers. There's Seth Whataburger, who founded Whataburger, of course. Elizabeth White Castle, hyphenated, who, of course, started White Castle Burgers, and her stepsister, Crystal, who started Crystals.
you never knew how much I missed all.
You want to go with the Colonel?
Colonel Sanders.
We're going to say Colonel Sanders.
You got it.
Yeah. Hey,
good one.
All right.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
So he started KFC in a gas station that he owned. And then he painted all these barns and billboards, sides of barns, billboards, all the way down with advertisements of his gas station. So this other fellow gas station owner would go through and paint over his signs. So after like two times, someone came in his shop. He's like, yo, that guy's painting over one of your signs again. So he runs down there with a couple of his buddies. This guy, I don't remember his name, pulls a gun on the colonel and his friends.
Philip Popeye.
And kills one of the colonel's... Mr. Church.
I'm Zach Zaxby's.
the chicken gang. But this guy ends up killing one of the guys who's with Colonel Sanders, who then pulls out his gun and shoots at him and wounds him. Colonel Sanders got no trouble before, you know, for
was this gas station called the OK Corral?
It's a game of scissors, scissors, scissors.
But no, he was, like you said, if you watch old interviews, he cursed like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
He would go into KFCs and taste the food.
My cock sucking chicken.
Yeah.
11 herbs and goddamn spices.
Colonel Sanders loves the gays. And
buy my chicken and let me fuck your mouth.
But he would go into
by Quentin Tarantino.
He would go into these franchises and taste their food and just rip them. Be like, back when they actually used to make shit from scratch in these franchises, he'd be like, "Your gravy slop, it's shit." And just
damn.
He was just a hardcore
whipped
man.
Ass mashed potatoes.
Wow,
shit's for losers.
I want to meet him. He's gone, right?
Yeah, he's done.
Oh. Well, we only have the YouTube if he had archives.
If he had KFC these days, he would be very disappointed.
Kitchen yep. Fresh Chicken. Yeah, that fake-ass Idahoan mashed potato, which I love, but I know a lot of people hate. Their gravy is slop.
I'm not a huge gravy guy.
Really?
No, not really.
Through and through. Least favorite food. It's a tough one when someone loves something so
there's
much.
Not a lot of foods that I dislike.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very, very not picky.
Favorite side dish for Thanksgiving?
Collard greens.
Damn.
But I know that's not very, that's not across the board Skyler? Traditional, but I would say.
We'll allow it.
Okay. Collard greens.
It's tough for me. I don't know. What do you think? For me, it's, I still have trouble with roasted crickets. That's one thing. I got some as a trivia prize at Nice Guys one night, and I brought it home and I was like, I'm going to try these. And I was eating it. And I'm like, I just can't get into this right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot hard of foods to get into that I've tasted and like had to like spit out. But mm-hmm. there's definitely some foods that I won't try because I know better.
Yeah,
like surströmming.
What's that?
That's the
missed trivia opportunity right there.
Oh,
we could have dropped the surströmming on him.
It's probably penis.
I'm surprised you don't know
based
this.
Off the
no,
name.
It's fish that is fermented inside a can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And there are many videos of people opening it. When they open it, it squirts the juice all over because there's so much gas. So they tell you to open it up underwater. So first of all, when it squirts, it doesn't squirt everywhere. And second of all, the smell is so strong when you open it that it'll make people dry heave.
Yeah, a podcast, Cooking Issues, I listened to, they opened a can. And it's funny, this guy was an expert in it. He's like, doesn't have the vomit note that I tend to like about it. Yeah, so that's gross.
That I tend to like about it. Okay, man.
All right.
Cool.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments with Rate My Question.
Yeah.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a redeem my question. Redeem my question. I wanted to know, I just wanted to go back to my baseball lingo question from last week. I asked a type of sculpture, what word means in baseball lingo to score 8 runs in a single inning? And you might remember, or Skylar, do you have any ideas on this one?
I remember you asking this question.
Oh, okay, you did.
But I listened to that, but I don't remember what the answer was.
The answer was snowman. Snowman was the answer. There was, some discord in the group here about that question between Sadie and Mark, our guest Sadie that we had last week. I feel like I could clean that question up a little bit, doing a little bit more research. I almost regret asking it the way that I did. If I was going to re-ask that question, I would use this version. In baseball lingo, what type of sculpture is said to be hung on the scoreboard when a team scores 8 runs in a single inning? Because that is where the term comes in. It's called hanging a snowman because it looks like it on the scoreboard. And I just feel like emphasizing that a little bit gives a little bit more of a hint.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make it even easier, you could say holiday sculpture. That would make this a pretty easy question. You could use that for like a 3-pointer or something like that. Just wanted to touch on that. We do have a rate my question here from AJ. AJ writes, hello from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Ah, BC.
I've been listening since just after you started the podcast. Love your trivia. I also love your tips for creating questions and hosting trivia nights. Thank you. I was watching the Eurovision Song Contest for the first time today. The movie doesn't count, does it? And came up with the following trivia question. And I'll just say as an aside, I didn't even know that was a thing outside of that movie. I thought that was the original concept. I did. I recently found that out. But anyways, AJ continues, be gentle, guys. It's my first attempt. Keep up the great work. The category, music and or geography. Competing in the Eurovision Song Contest since 2015 and coming in second place in 2016, the capital city of which country is the furthest in distance from Rotterdam, the Netherlands, the hosting city of 2021? So who is traveling the farthest, basically? Competing in the Eurovision Song Contest since 2015 and coming in second place in 2016, the capital city of which country is the furthest in distance from Rotterdam, the Netherlands, the hosting city of 2021?
Now, is this the same TV show. TV is a TV show, right?
I think it's a televised event. I think it's like American Idol, basically. Okay. It's like a special televised event.
Is it the same as that band that recently got in trouble? They apparently looked like they were doing drugs on live TV, but ended up being false.
I think I remember what you're talking about.
I missed that one.
Are these only European bands?
I'm presuming so. I don't know.
So where's the furthest capital city?
Right. And that's
from the Netherlands.
Part of my beef with this is I don't know. Do the cities compete? Do countries compete?
Well, they said capital city.
Right.
So,
but I'm wondering in the contest, it says what country's capital city is the furthest? So are the contests the ones that are competing? Do we know? Have you guys seen this?
I have zero idea.
Did you see the movie?
Nope.
With Will Ferrell and Amy Adams, Rachel McAdams? One of the Adams.
I love Rachel.
One of the
Adam West.
Either Adams or McAdams. I'm not sure. Pally. Could it be
Steve Adams?
Could it be Washington D.C.?
Not in Europe.
I was gonna say,
asking if it's European only. That's why, and you said you think so. If it's European only, then we just need to think of
the most southern
European cities.
Mm-hmm.
Big European capital cities that are furthest away from Rotterdam. The Netherlands is kind of over by...
Man, I don't know where the Balkans Baltic states are, so I'm no help here.
I just
know
there's water up there. I don't know where. Yeah. I'm so bad at fucking geography. It's such a goddamn joke.
This is, I think
geography's a joke.
I'm a joke when it comes to geography, but maybe geography's also kind of to blame because it's a joke.
I think Norton Juster wrote about the Netherlands in the Phantom Tollbooth. Or no, that was the Doldrums.
Mm. Same thing. Little Netherlands stab.
Booyah.
Gotcha, Netherlands. I mean, when I think of all that stuff, the Netherlands, I think of like Rome? Over by France and all that shit, right?
Yeah. Rome? Is Rome the capital of Italy?
Rome is the capital of Italy. Is Italy as far south or east as we go?
I mean, in the Mediterranean,
Asia.
Yeah, that's when.
What's Greece?
Greece is north, isn't it?
Is it European?
Yes, 100% sure on that.
Maybe it's the capital of damn Greece.
This is an area that I know nothing about.
Yep. Hi, we all went to public school in Florida.
Yeah.
Hello.
All in the same area.
In case you're wondering
me and you went to the same high school.
We did.
Yep. Mariner has failed us.
Though I will say,
as has North Fort Myers.
I didn't
High.
Do very extremely well. So it's not like I got through. Look, I learned other stuff, okay? I was busy playing music.
The quads, right?
There you go, yeah. I was in damn marching band, so a bunch of people could hit my drums when I walked by. Thank you. I'm wearing these. Please stop it.
Well, AJ is asking for which country, so
we'll just say Greece.
Okay, I'm gonna click on Greece. The link here. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
We'll say Greece is a little further than Italy in our mind. The answer is Australia. Australia has participated in the Eurovision Song Contest 6 times since their debut in 2018.
AC/DC.
And has been in the top 10 4 times. They are the second country outside of the Eurasia region to take part in the contest since Morocco competed in 1980.
Jesus.
So Morocco was competing 35 years before Australia. I didn't realize that I'm so out of touch with this. The Eurovision Song Contest, way larger than I knew.
And older.
No wonder they made a movie about it.
Damn.
Hmm.
I'm going to give this one a PI because I know that this is, even though I don't know about it, I know Eurovision Song Contest is growing in popularity, especially since the movie came out. I do find it interesting. Built-in hint, there's a lot of information in it. I'll give it a lowercase b because there's definitely a lot to go on. It's not short and sweet, though. I would rewrite this a little bit, maybe. My version of the countries competing in the 2021 Eurovision Song Contest, which previously placed second in the competition in 2016 and has the capital city furthest from 2021's host city, Rotterdam, the Netherlands. Just kind of restructured a little bit.
That felt longer than the original
question. It was 10 words less. It was 10 words less. So brings it down from like 40 to 30.
Mm. Really streamlining it. I'll give it a...
That's what I'm here for. It's already my question.
I'll give it an A. Nothing really blown me away. Maybe a little bit of a hinty hint in there.
Is your question, just remind me, an A plus to A minus scale?
We haven't had many terrible questions.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say this is terrible, but I wouldn't say B is a terrible grade either.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you are coming factually correct and you are giving information that is readily available and should be known, it's pretty hard to get a bad one unless you butcher the wording of it or make it into, I don't know, some bullshit. It's like fucking taking art class. It's like, show up, put the fucking paintbrush to paper. Like, if you do that, you're going to get a good grade. Like, just try. And it's just like, are you doing, like, now if you fucking put, you know, Mark Davis on a piece of paper with a giant middle finger, then I'll probably give you a C. What was that
one? C?
Remember that?
That's not even a question. You're giving that a C?
No, I'm talking about an art class.
Oh, okay.
There was someone that I gave a bad grade because they fucking talked about blue cheese or something. I mean, what do you want from me? Come on.
Huge bias there. All right, Skylar, you got your own rating system. I'm not sure what you've used previously. You can come up with
I've never used.
I was going to say, I don't think he's been here.
No. I guess I'll give it 6 McDonald's out of 7.
Okay.
6 out of 7 McDonald's.
6 whole McDonald's. You almost have your own region. 6 McDonald's out of 7. Have you tried the new Cajun sauce or the new sweet chili sauce?
I don't know. No.
It's a new BTS meal. It's not built to spill. But the Korean band, they have a Cajun sauce.
Oh, they do like they get artists to do their own little combos, right?
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, yeah. We have one other rate my question here from Team Captain Jenny. Jenny writes, "Hey guys, this is Jenny, newly resubscriber to the Patreon and purveyor of zoo stories. And of course, I have an animal question for you guys to rate. Beta carotene is a pigment known for giving carrots their orange color. This pigment is also found in diatoms, which are small algae surrounded in glass houses. What extremophile animal relies on their consumption of diatoms to retain their bright coloration?" Extremophile animal.
I mean, let's think of what's... So I'd imagine it'd be orange or orange-ish.
Right, exactly.
But they need an extreme amount. So I imagine that it'd have to be a larger animal.
Well, I think extremophile means they live in an extreme habitat.
Oh, okay.
They're like a deep water fish or, you know, like I think the Ghanaian crocodiles that are orange. Remember we talked about that? But that's due to the fact that they live in their own shit all day.
Nice.
Not because of what they eat. Not because of the diatoms, but because... Or, I'm sorry, it's bat shit. And they're like, you know, crocodiles that are hanging out in the water.
Those things are batshit insane.
I'm thinking like some of these like squids are reddish orange color and they're massive and they live deep underwater.
Yeah.
Can I hear that one more time?
Beta carotene is a pigment known for giving carrots their orange color. This pigment is also found in diatoms, which are small algae surrounded in glass houses. What extremophile animal relies on their consumption of diatoms to retain their bright coloration?
Glass houses?
Yeah, that's in quotes. So
okay.
They're not actually glass, but it's algae surrounded in, I don't know if it's bubbles, air bubbles, but they are contained. And they contain beta carotene.
Maybe even like a crab or a lobster of some sort?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Are lobsters extremophiles?
I have no idea.
I mean, they're kind of, shallow.
Hell.
Creatures.
Shallow hell.
Yep.
Classic.
Jason Alexander.
I just remember from that movie, like, a bunch of fat phobia and joke about... Oh, yeah, the tail.
The tail's funny.
The tail. Jason Alexander has a tail. And there's a... I think that's the movie with the joke about the nacho. There's like a nacho law, like explained, like you can't take 15 nachos just because they're connected to each other through melted cheese.
Like, I don't know. I just know that movie has probably not aged very well.
No, I won't be going back.
Well, that's comedy, right, boys?
I'll tell you. Seth Rogen, I think, is right on.
I agree.
He's like, accept that jokes don't age well.
They're not supposed to.
Yep, some jokes are just, you just got to accept they age poorly.
Humor changes year to year. Like, you know what I mean?
But not just humor, just, I mean, the taste.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you imagine being a comedian that had like 5 minutes worth of jokes about the Twin Towers?
And David Cross.
September 11th happened, you were just like...
Oh no, David Cross wrote those after the towers fell.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like it's been long enough now that it's free range.
No, but like back then
it was back then, okay.
Oof, God.
No, you're saying the lament of the comedian having to give up their great World Trade Center material. Yeah.
It's like when you're fighting to like write minutes worth of material.
Yeah, that 5 could be, minutes. That could be a bit of a bummer, but you know, in comparison.
Oh yeah, no. Not everything has to be compared.
Extremophile animal. The blobfish.
I don't think that it's lobsters, because that's genetic. Lobsters, it's like a genetic thing where it's like, oh, it's very rarely that they're blue, but yeah, one right, just genetic.
Yeah.
They're eating algae.
I don't know that this thing
squids,
is underwater.
Are squids eating algae?
I feel like they eat other fish.
Why are we thinking of water things?
Like, you're thinking like a mud skipper or something like that? I guess that's also water.
I mean, it's just, I mean, like...
Because algae grows in water, right? Isn't that why?
I guess, is algae like moss? Could it grow on rocks and trees? I think it can. I think algae can be outside of water. Maybe in like moist environment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of dolphin? Like a pink dolphin? There are pink dolphins.
There are?
Yeah, they're just rare.
Whoa.
Maybe they're rare because of the stuff they're eating.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm thinking of like
anglerfish.
Well, I'll tell you what I think of. I know it's a little different,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking of something like the flamingo.
Oh,
they don't get it from algae, but they get it from shrimp.
Yes, but okay. But I like that. I like that. But it seems like the way this is written is. Relies on their consumption of diatoms to retain their bright coloration. Mm-hmm. Relies. Like, it's like helping them.
Gotta have this bright color.
Mm-hmm.
What will I do without it?
Goldfish.
The snack that smiles back?
Goldfish. Not the Pepperidge Farm goldfish.
Or kois, which are the same family, but I don't know if one answer would be wrong and one wouldn't be.
I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, if they rely on it, they're not extremophiles, though. Goldfish are not extremophiles.
Also, you bring goldfish to your home and no one's ever like, quick, feed this thing a bunch of diatoms or else it'll die. Or
maybe it's in the food that you buy them.
Could be.
I don't know how small these diatoms are. I mean, they got Adam in the name, so they could just be naturally occurring in the vi- but they're not extremophiles, so it doesn't even matter. I retract that. And that's the other thing is, like, extremophiles, they have to, like, are flamingos extremophiles? Like, that's not an extreme environment.
I was just using an example of something that, like, is not a water,
mm-hmm.
is not, you know, a fish.
That's why I went there, I guess, because it's so deep, you know, like, the other thing would be going very high up or very hot.
Very hot or very cold is what mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
First thing I think.
So, volcanic creatures.
Yeah, very cold.
Don't know what we got there. I mean, outside of Legend of Zelda, I don't know. I guess lizards probably live in like volcanic areas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember there was a question I asked about that snail.
Oh yeah,
the one that lives in volcano.
That snail,
the volcanic stuff.
That one snail.
What else do you remember about that? Was it an orange snail?
It had. Remember, it has lead in its system. It's the only animal that has like mm-hmm. iron in its skeleton, is that it?
I think so.
Eat a lot of the worst creatine.
He's the worst snail we've got.
He's one of the worst snails we've got. My Brian Crox impression, you're welcome. Follow me.
For more.
Follow me for more.
You gonna be start posting that?
He's gonna be one of the worst. He's one of the worst mutants we've got.
I don't know.
My headphones just got.
Let's all have our own answer.
Yep. Oh, I was really, really worried that we stopped recording or something.
Nope, we're good.
Wow. I don't know any orange things. I guess we could do a goldfish. We could do a Finding Nemo fish.
The clownfish, right?
They're not extremophiles. Unless living in a sea anemone is extreme. I mean, it seems like it could be dangerous, but I don't know if that qualifies as an extremophile animal.
Buddies?
Angelfish. No, they're carnivores. They eat other... That's why they use the little thing.
Starfish?
Starfish could be a good answer.
Horseshoe crab? Again, not extreme. I just don't see these as being bright extreme. Color. Like, in particular. The blobfish, you guys know that one?
Mm-hmm. That's like that old man with a big nose.
Right. But that's due to actually, they get depressurized when they come up. So they don't look like that when they're at the bottom of the ocean. But that, yeah, when they come it's up, like they look like this sound.
It's like when like a heavy person loses a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just like a bunch of extra like skin. Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I won't lose weight.
That's what's key. It's like people are like smoking 3 packs a day. I'd quit, but I don't want to gain any weight.
I don't want to get good lungs.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get
no one's gonna find me attractive. I'm gonna get flappy lungs. 5 pounds.
But they will find me attractive when I smell like an ashtray.
She tastes like cigarettes.
I don't know, man. Let's just fucking think something.
Blobfish.
Okay, blobfish.
Wrong.
Mark. I'm so sorry.
Flamingos.
The answer is the flamingo. Jenny writes, I work with Chilean flamingos at my facility. I think flamingos are entirely fascinating due to their ability to survive extreme conditions. For instance, Chilean flamingos often gather in flocks around highly alkaline waters where nothing else really survives and can filter feed in boiling water. Wow.
Damn.
Their beaks are rigid with notches along the rim that in conjunction with piston-like movements from their tongue, pump water in and out of their mouths to filter their tiny food. When baby flamingos are born, they are gray and are fed bright red crop milk. Look it up. It's disgustingly awesome. It helps them start to develop their color. Can't wait to catch up on the backlog I've missed. Thank you for your great edutainment, Jenny.
Ladies, wow. I also have a piston-like tongue. Hit my DMs up.
Are these really extremophiles? I mean, those are some interesting extreme things that they
boiling
do.
Boiling mean, water? I mean...
I guess I thought that it was always environment related. But yeah, I guess if your environment is constant boiling water...
So to cook a flamingo, can you cook it in boiling water? Or would it just stay raw?
No, I can't. I mean, the beak probably will survive. Yeah, imagine, but yeah. The rest of it, you're in for a treat.
I would eat a flamingo, though.
Well...
Why not?
That's twice. That's
I mean,
twice
I think they're endangered, but other than that, why not?
twice I've offered the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Twice you've laughed at me, torn me asunder.
I don't know if I laughed, but I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay?
Even
Mark, I'm sorry.
Laughing was understood.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, please do so at nonsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. We didn't rate that question. We need to do that still.
Yeah, I'd give it an A+.
7 out of 7 McDonald's.
There you go.
Okay, a little bit higher.
Wow, do you only exist in a world where you have 6 and 7 McDonald's? Two questions.
Well, Mark, I don't know when the last time you rated under A-.
Yeah, there was.
You're in a mood today. No more Big 8 before we record.
Yeah, it's the Big 8. That's the problem.
I would give this I'd give this a PIB. Again, I would, you know, this is like 3 statements as a question. I would just rewrite it to just be like 1 question. So something like, what extremophile animal relies on their consumption of diatoms, small packages of algae rich in beta carotene, to retain their bright coloration?
That's good.
Just shorten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, try to get, I think I retain most of the information there. But yeah, give us a call or write us. If you have a rate my question, we will rate it. All right. Skylar.
Yeah.
Lay it on us.
Let me start it.
Yeah.
All right.
Throw us that question.
John Richard Simplot, also known as J.R. Simplot, was an American entrepreneur and businessman best known as the founder and creator of what fast food menu item?
This is crazy. I had a very similar question.
Huh.
Like a week or two ago.
Okay.
That I did not ask.
No.
Let me rephrase. He was the creator of the modernized version of this fast food menu item.
Modernized version. Interesting.
J.R. Simplot.
Good old J.R.
How do you spell the last name, please?
S-I-M-P-L-O-T.
Simplot. Simplot the best.
Better than all the rest.
Better than anyone.
I still can't get over that Proud Mary is a Creedence cover and not a Tina Turner original. Oh, yeah. And not the other way around.
Huh, I know that.
Yeah. That's one of those tricky covers originals.
Yeah.
Where who did it first?
Who done it?
Mm-hmm. The modern version. Spicy chicken sandwich. That's a
modern version thing is the one that got me got me going here because
the double down.
The modern version of this fast food item.
Oh. The Choco Taco. An ice cream taco.
You just talked about the Choco Taco.
I know. Right? Maybe that's what pulled it back in.
I don't know if it's a menu item, Lee. I don't know. I wouldn't consider that.
I will say that's not a fast food menu item.
It was in the 90s at Taco Bell.
It was. Yeah, it was the best.
The golden age.
J.R. Simplot. Modern version of this menu item.
The Shamrock Shake. The Frosty.
You don't know who I am? I invented the goddamn Shamrock Shake.
The Blizzard.
What if it's French fry?
I mean,
what if it's hash brown?
Could be. Could be French fry.
What if it's?
Could be hash brown. Tot, tater tot.
Whopper? It's not Big Mac. The question I had was, the answer was Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Dude with a last name starting with D, I think.
What is a Whopper? I mean, to me, the Whopper is just like a marketing thing. That is just a hamburger. Like, the Big Mac is...
Well, at the time, it was like a bigger burger compared to what McDonald's and people were doing.
Fair enough, but I don't know.
Definitely a menu item.
Like, for somebody to like claim inventing the Whopper, I just feel like it's like, you invented the Whopper? Like, isn't that just a
listen, I'm telling you, the question that I asked at my trivia was, they invented what menu item or what fast food item, and the answer was Big Mac.
Big Mac, I feel, has more going on than a Whopper. A Whopper is just like a burger that's kind of scaled
insane.
Up. No, there's an extra slice of bread in the middle of that Big Mac.
And
that
a
is
special
that
sauce.
I understand, but I mean, like, it still has its own name and it's still a separate menu item.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, if two people came up to me and one said, "I invented the Big Mac," and one said, "I invented the Whopper," I'd be like, "You worked harder to the Big Mac."
You're
person.
Like a Whopper. You're like, the Whopper is just Burger King's burger.
Yeah, it's their flagship.
It's their bigger burger, but it's a menu item. I mean, it's like, even, I know it sounds stupid, but just to have the idea of like making it bigger and it like having its own name, it's still a separate menu item. If you go there and say, "Can I get a hamburger?" they'll give you a little piddly ass burger. If you say, "I want a Whopper,"
they're going to whop you with it.
They're going to whop you. You're going to get Judge Whopnerd.
It's not even that big, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like quarter pounder.
Yeah, it's just common. I mean, the other burger should be called, like, well, they do have a Whopper Jr., actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is I haven't been to a nasty-ass Burger King in a very long time.
It's been
I went the other day with Andrew Bernard. We got the spicy chicken sandwich. Someone in my feed, I should find them and to fucking publicly fucking ridicule
Mark,
them.
I'm supposed to keep you on track here.
I know.
Can we just finish this
episode,
please?
They were telling me that they had the best spicy chicken sandwich in the game at Burger King.
Burger King can't do anything best.
That's what I'm saying. And they were like, it's the best. And they really get 9.5 out of 10. The only thing that can be the best at is sucking.
Fucking roasted. Zero best efforts.
But yeah, they,
that's partly why I don't want to go with Whopper on this one.
Here it is. Jesse Snavely.
I'm going to call him out by name.
I have officially tried a spicy chicken sandwich from all the major fast food restaurants, and the score is as follows. Burger King, 9 out of 10.
Damn.
Chick-fil-A, 8.75 out of 10. Popeyes, 8.5 out of 10. Wendy's, 8 out of 10.
Say, Wendy's
KFC, 7 out of 10. McDonald's, 4 out of 10. I thought the McDonald's spicy chicken sandwich was fine.
I tried it. You know what I hate about when they try to say, oh, we have a spicy version, but they just put some spicy bullshit sauce on it. That's what I like about Wendy's version, is that it's in the breading. It's not just a sauce they throw on the fucking chicken. It's bullshit.
Chick-fil-A is when they throw the patty out the drive-thru window at you at 180 miles an hour.
Highlight style.
Yeah, exactly. Chick-fil-A.
188-mile chicken sandwich coming at your fucking face. Good luck. No sues.
Bless you.
Not allowed to sue.
The blizzard.
Okay, we'll say the blizzard.
No, you know what? I've steered you wrong twice already. Let's go with the Whopper. You want to go with the Whopper? I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do it again. We'll go with your answer.
We'll say the Whopper.
No. Frozen French fry.
Frozen French fry. So I got myself off of being right.
Yep.
Yeah. I was right earlier when I said French fry.
He made a deal with J. Kroc over a handshake that he would supply them with, he would find a way to make frozen French fries because they were all at that time hand cut in store, but there's like a three month span during the year where russet potatoes aren't available.
Yeah.
So they would lack in quality during those months. So he's like, you need to figure out a way. So yeah, that's what he did. That's
what he's famous for. Charge like $10 for a thing of French fries.
Yeah. $10 for Stella.
The economic solution.
Shout out. Where did I go? And someone had fucking like three Stellas. They were all like
$8. I was telling him before you got here. It was when we went to Rim City.
Yes,
I got the bill and I was like, I was bugging out of my head. Like, seriously. $20 for two Stellas? What the hell?
Unshout out
maybe
to
they were
Rib
punishing
City.
You for drinking Stella.
They had like
it's
nothing
because it's
else,
Rib
though.
City and they're fucking, and everyone there drinks McDonald's. They're from McDonald's. Everybody there drinks Budweiser and they're like, a Stella?
Oh, he must have money.
We have to go to a separate Publix for this. You got to really charge him up.
All right. I have a monarchies question for you guys. Now headed by Queen Margrethe II, what country features the oldest monarchy in Europe, founded by Viking King Gorm the Old in 935, whose conquest is celebrated on the Jelling Stones?
The Jelling Stones. Meet the Jelling Stones. I'm so bad at shit like this.
No, I'm the worst.
It's funny you went to Jetsons because my brain, when I first read that, went to Jellystone National Park.
I didn't go to Jetsons. I went to the Flintstones.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. Kind of similar, though.
Well, yeah. Jetsons. I mean, similar. Similar.
Well, I can't
they're both Hanna-Barbera cartoons. No.
They're a modern future family.
The Jetsons was like, meet George Jetson.
His boy,
Elroy. You're right.
Jane, his wife, and they did chopsticks. Dun, 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 dun. Daughter Judy.
Let's do chopsticks here real quick and see what happens.
I was actually thinking about doing acid this weekend.
So. There you go.
You just hooked it up. Monarchies. Are you looking for the country?
Yes, the country with England. The oldest monarchy in Europe, founded by Viking King Gorm the Old in 935.
Founded by Viking. It's got to be Finnish.
Yeah,
Norwegian.
Say if it's Viking. Yeah.
Queen Margrethe II, the current ruler.
I kind of want to say Norway. It feels like it's going to be Finland, Norway, Switzerland.
Switzerland, yeah.
But I feel like Nordic.
For sure. And oldest. I feel like Switzerland. I don't know much about them, but I imagine Switzerland's somewhat newer compared to...
Yeah.
Finland.
We're going to go with Finland.
No, it's actually one that you didn't mention. Denmark. Denmark.
Danish.
Fuckers in Denmark.
Yep. I think King Gorm actually conquested both Finland and Denmark, but Denmark is where he sat down and laid his rule. And yeah, Queen Margrethe II, now a descendant of Viking King Gorm the Old, oldest monarchy.
Gorm. Sounds like the name, like one of the people in like a black metal band.
You know, oh, who King Lord Gorm?
That is very good. It also sounds like an intestinal issue you have. It's like, oh man, I got really, really bad day. I just got diagnosed with Gorm. My doctor's got me on
Riddleback. Like Gorm's acting
for my
up.
Gorm. It's capital G-O-R-M. It stands for like...
You know who King Gorm's son was that erected the second gelling stone that described his conquest of Denmark?
Eric the Red.
No, another Eric. Another famous Viking, Harald Bluetooth.
Mm. Oh.
Of which the technology and the little Bluetooth icon, the rune, yeah, is named and referred to him. So.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your last question?
Yep.
Physalia and Blue Bottle are alternative names for what water creature?
One more time, what were the two names?
Physalia, P-H-Y-S-A-L-I-A, and Blue Bottle are alternative names for what water creature or water animal?
Jellyfish?
I think Blue Bottle, that other name doesn't help at all, but Blue Bottle, I'm trying to think of its shape and color.
I mean, it kind of has a glass-like appearance, the blue of the water.
Yeah, like, you know, when they kind of...
And Physalia, maybe like a physical change, because it's like an amorphous type thing.
That's why you're a quiz master.
Just look, like Robert Palmer. I'm looking for clues. Looking for clues. I almost said Robert Plant. Different guy.
Different man altogether.
I think that's a good guess. On anything, only other
one goes, and the other one's got simply irresistible.
Yeah, the other one's more like, whoa.
The other one looks like he just got off of his job at the stock market with a bunch of like attractive women that look exactly the same.
Who like moonlights as a lounge singer.
Yeah. He goes to karaoke.
I walked into this bar on Fifth, and I swear to God, I saw Robert on stage.
1987 karaoke.
Glass of scotch. Doing.
Yeah, exactly. The band's all set up. They're like, he's finally here. Let's go.
I like your guess. That's a good one.
Jellyfish?
Yeah.
Blue Bottle Jellyfish. I just feel like I've heard that before, too. The Blue Bottle Jellyfish.
I'm down going with it.
I don't know if that's a particular type or if that's like a word for all of this type of creature, mm-hmm, like a general term. Let's do it. Jellyfish.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
I'm so sorry.
The correct answer, you're very close, is the Portuguese man of war.
Which is not technically a jellyfish, right? It's own correct creature. Yep.
Wow.
Now, I do want to go ahead and just point out before we get miscorrected, or maybe I should just leave it alone and let the people from the good people from Whiskey Tango to write in. But it should be noted, I read the question as I had said it. It's also known as Floating Terror. Great band name, Dibs. It is actually a marine hydrozoan.
Yep.
A hydrozoan is a taxonomic class of individually very small predatory animals, some solitary and some colonial species that can be large. And in some cases, the specialized individual animals cannot survive outside the colony.
Yeah, so it's not even one thing. It's like the Portuguese man of war is like a lot of little organisms all tied together on a giant jellyfish-looking bus.
Nice. I mean, Floating Terror, also, I don't know, I instantly picture a Mastodon album cover, mm-hmm, with that name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be a good album title, too.
Yeah, and so even though I may have been wrong in the taxonomy of the... Oh, the glare off that guitar is murdering my eye. may have been incorrect. Yes, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Bless you. I love you. Physalia, Blue Bottle.
The Man of War.
Those are Man of War things.
Skylar.
God damn it.
Thank you, Skylar, for embarking on your war on chicken and tacos.
Oh, okay. He just threw a gang sign up, but I won't say which.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Because I don't want the other Skylar side to get angry. Yeah, yeah, no.
But we have Death by Chicken July 3rd in front of Nice Guys.
Yeah, in Nice Guys.
Yeah, in Nice Guys. So just go to Nice Guys and keep an eye out for reservations. We'll try to throw a link to the show in the show notes to that once we
TBA
know what's going on.
I want you to know I'm getting the first reservation. As soon as you bring it up, just put me in for a table of four.
Noted.
Okay.
Can I also request that? I didn't know you were taking requests like that. I was going to be the first. I was actually going to be like, no, Mark, I'm going to be the first one to call. But if you're just putting it in now, then.
Well, because you reserve by the table, maybe you guys can reserve the first table.
I was going to say.
Can we reserve it right now?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
All right, beautiful. Okay, yeah. Yes. Ding, ding.
Skylar, thanks so much for joining us. Any other places that you want to drop the name of? Deathbytaco.com?
Death by Taco 239. There's another Death by Taco in San Francisco, but I've heard they suck. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about them, but there's one. So Death by Taco 239. We will be at Palace's 2-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I should probably have the date, June 12th.
Yes.
Sounds about right. Excited.
Yeah. 2 weeks on a Saturday. That's our next big thing. And as always, every Thursday and Friday, 11 to 4 outside Nice Guys, and every Monday night, 4 to 9.
Yes, it is so hard to not eat Death by Taco multiple times a week because it's perfectly scheduled. You get like those two, three days.
And we
in
do
between.
Specials, at different specials every day. So you always try something, you always get something different.
I have to have that chicken tanga sandwich. I still haven't had it. Oh, I know.
Yep.
I already know it's great. I just have to taste it. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have that soup again at some point?
The pozole? Well, not now. It's fucking 180 degrees outside.
I don't give
Florida.
A fuck.
But maybe when the weather starts to get a little bit nicer, we'll do that pozole again.
Dipping that fucking sandwich in there. Oh, my God.
I think you also have the best Cuban sandwich I've ever had.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, besides the meats and the other ingredients, the mustard is choice.
I appreciate that. I know you and your mustard. I'm a big mustard man myself.
I think I'm on a one Cuban sandwich a week schedule now because check that out, folks. Be sure to follow Death by Taco 239. And thank you for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. We have 99 reviews right now on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, everybody, who's taken the time to leave us a review there, as well as on Podchaser for our non-Apple listeners. You could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top. That will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon page. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including...
Thank you.
Our quiz daddies, Tommy and Tim. Our team captains, Jenny, thank you for bumping up to a team captain. Bless you. Ding, ding, ding. Dylan, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Aaron, and David Holbrook to the third power. I think today's going to be the last day we do David Holbrook to the third power. What do you think?
No, let's keep it going.
Okay.
I mean, we can't take his away and then keep doing the mics and stuff.
And
you
it's
know?
Gil. That's true. That's thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers. Nabil, thank you for joining. Nabil, we appreciate you. Patrick, also, thank you very much. Ricky, John, Adam, Molly, and Ryan, Nicole, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thank you to our Rumble Snailskins. We do stuff. All the people from We Do Stuff, we love you. Alex, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike, climate influenced by the Gulf Stream.
Michael J.
Mike Jellingstone.
And Michael K.
Mike knows about Triceratops poo. I wrote Triceratops and I just couldn't get it out.
Triceratops.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a missed correction, no nonsense trivia
crap.
At gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Triceratops.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. That one's good. At No Nonsense. Yes. At No Nonsense Trivia. And on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
I think I prefer plops because it really gives me the idea.
Triceratops,
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, please don't forget to leave us a five-star rating on your favorite podcast service. Again, that's
five stars only. Please.
My misreading just made that fall apart. I apologize.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.